Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
This is really, really special. As you know, folks, Detroit is in Chapter 9 bankruptcy. Emotions flare as the city and the state of Michigan find a path forward for the Motor City. What is needed? Well, is a good accountant. Richard Snyder is the 48th governor of Michigan. After a sterling set of academics at Michigan, the governor served a tour of duty at Coopers and Lybrand. He knows how to read a ledger, and he was with us this morning. This is not just about accounting, isn't it? You have to rejuvenate and rebuild and make Detroit move forward. What is the plan to make Detroit, say, like Pittsburgh or like Chicago, to find a new vibrancy?
Yeah, Tom, I appreciate that question because you're absolutely correct. It's just not about the numbers. It's just not about the debt. One of the most important things, more important than the debt question, is improve services to citizens. Because if you look at going to your question specifically about what's going on in Detroit, Detroit is having a great comeback already going on in the private sector, in the foundation community.
In the city of Detroit.
In the city of Detroit. Dan Gilbert's bought how many skyscrapers, real estate investments? He started the Madison building. It's full of startup companies. The Illich family is building a new arena. There's a whole series of very good things going on in Detroit.
Can the state and can Republicans find a cogent, immediate plan to reinstill that vigor, to take it forward? Or is it going to be polarized as we get through this Chapter 9 bankruptcy process?
Well, this shouldn't be about politics. This is about results and really getting Detroit on the path to being a great city again. The foundation's being done outside of the government. Now we're going to redo the government sector because that's the last major obstacle to a very positive comeback in the city of Detroit, to get it on the path to being a great city.
How are you and Mayor Bing going to deal with this collegially?
We get along. We've known each other for quite a while. It's not about personal relationships. They're good. But this is about showing results to our citizens, who are our customer. I view that for every level of government, federal government, state government, local government. We all have a common customer in the people of Detroit. And don't we want to give them better service than they've gotten?
But is there a financial role for the state in restructuring of Detroit?
Well, I appreciate that. What I would say is it's not a bailout role. It's a strategic investment role. And we've already been doing that in multiple cases. We've been helping on public safety, for example, with helicopter support, helping kids get to school safely. We're going through a whole series of different things to help.
But would you step in to guarantee the pensions for city workers?
Well, again, this isn't about bailouts or guarantees. This is about improving services to the citizens of Detroit.
Douglas Skeel of the University of Pennsylvania had an important op-ed in the Wall Street Journal this week about the emotion of the moment. Here's David Skeel. The court has interpreted Congress's bankruptcy powers very broadly, and the power to facilitate the adjustment of debt lies at the heart of bankruptcy. Can you guarantee the pensions of the employees of Detroit? Or do you just assume, do you wake up every day knowing they're going to lose 90 cents on the dollar?
Well, a couple things. I'm not going to guarantee things. That wouldn't be appropriate. But a couple things I would mention is we want the retirees to have a voice at the table. And if you look at the bankruptcy petition, one of the things requested of the judge is to appoint retiree representatives because they weren't being represented. So now they'll have a voice at the table to come. The second thing is, when you made your 90 cents comment, the bankruptcy does not influence the funded part of the pension plan. It's only the unfunded portion, which is still significant.
So this is important. The funded part is protected right now.
The funded part is funded.
Okay. Meredith Whitney sat in the chair you're in yesterday and suggested, with all of her notoriety and the people that criticize her, that there are other cities of Michigan that could become like Detroit. She mentioned Flint, Buick City as one of them. Are you worried that other cities in your state could follow on and find Chapter 9 bankruptcy?
Well, this is a challenge nationally, but what I'd say is Detroit's relatively unique. $18 billion of debt is crushing. In addition to that, the level of services being provided to citizens is absolutely unacceptable. And that's one of the huge drivers. So Detroit is a unique situation. There could be other places across the whole country.
Do you have a picture of Mayor Daley in your bedroom or in your library? Mayor Daley of Chicago, fix the potholes.
Governor, how long do you see this entire process taking?
What we hope to do is get through the bankruptcy process by fall of next year.
Is optimistic.
That's a breakthrough.
Let me put it in perspective, though, that most of the bankruptcies we've seen in Chapter 9 were essentially free fall situations, where communities just sort of threw in the keys and gave up and said they don't know what to do. We've had an emergency manager in place. We've been doing extensive negotiations already. There's a foundation. We've got the best people in this role in the country doing this work. Kevin Orr is outstanding.
That's an aggressive timeline. Are you encouraging companies or industries to play a role?
They've done a wonderful job already, and I'll give you one wonderful illustration. Roger Pinsky led a group of private people, that private organizations that essentially are contributing 100 police cars and over 20 EMS units to the city of Detroit. That's the kind of spirit we have in Detroit from the private sector.
Douglas Rischkoff, please come in here with perfect
like
shot.
Some of the obstacles to the kind of planned urban renewal. I mean, on the one hand, we've got a state that seems resistant to Obamacare, which is something that gives a lot of people hope when they don't have pensions, when they don't have jobs. And second, I understand we want to have a kind of a cultural revival in Detroit and in a lot of the urban areas in Michigan. And at the same time, it's a state where, you know, gay people can be fired if they're discovered for being gay in their job. So, which is also for my friends who are gay, thinking about going to a city to rebuild culture is an obstacle to them moving to a city where that could happen to them.
Yeah, well, you said a number of pieces, but the quality of life in Michigan and Detroit is very good. And we're going to continue to focus on those kind of issues in terms of solving problems. With respect to the pension piece, you mentioned Obamacare. In fact, I'm a big supporter of what we call Healthy Michigan, which is our Medicaid expansion. Mm-hmm. That's my other major project this summer, is trying to get health care to low-income people in need, because I think it's the right thing to do. It's in a thoughtful way that's a Michigan way about wellness, not just the vanilla federal flavor.
Governor, what is your to-do list for Detroit over the next week, or say to Labor Day? What is the action plan you have to help the citizens of that city?
Tom, there's a whole series of actions. That would take a lot longer than this time, but what I'll tell you, it includes blight removal.
I got 12 seconds.
It includes blight removal. There's a new proposal for trash pickup. There's the additional police cars hitting the street. There's a new police chief. This is about better services to citizens that really deserve a better answer and more accountability.
Mm-hmm. Detroit is a great example of this tectonic shift from the industrial giant of America to what's more of a digital age. Look at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, steel town, managed to attract healthcare, managed to attract technology. How do you do that as a city? How do you do that for Detroit?
Well, there's a lot of that already going on. If you look at CompuWare's headquartered in Detroit, a major IT company, if there are other companies coming into the city, IT is a situation that keeps on growing in terms of the auto companies are setting up IT centers in Detroit in terms of bringing workers there. So it continues to go on. There's a lot more information technology. When you hear about autos, people think just about the car. They don't recognize the technology in a vehicle is one of the highest tech industries in our nation is the auto
industry. But what's striking about Detroit is the auto industry is booming, yet Detroit is bankrupt. There's only one of the major auto companies, and that would be General Motors. It's actually headquartered in Detroit.
Yeah, well, there's still a lot of work going on, though. Chrysler has plants. Again, there are IT resources from the companies there, the research and development. But we're having these startups come, which is really exciting. There's a place called the Madison Building. Dan Gilbert created it, and it's full of startup companies.
Dan Gilbert is actually an interesting intersection for both of you. This is the founder of Quicken Loans, and he's just been buying up a spree of real estate and companies in Detroit.
I would have a lot more faith in the startup community than I would in big industry. I think the bigger story here is not just, you know, that we're moving from industrial technology to digital technology, but we're moving from an industrial style economy to a digital style economy. And the difference is the way you revive an economy is no longer getting a bank to issue a loan to some big company to build a factory to give people jobs. Instead, what you have to do is create the conditions for a peer-to-peer economy to exist in the city rather than just the city exporting stuff to other places.
Governor, I wonder if you can compare what you see in Detroit versus, say, Oakland County, which is home to cities like Bloomfield Hills, Auburn Hills. They've done a really good job of attracting the life sciences, high tech, the services industries.
Well, the same thing is going on in Detroit now. It hadn't been for a lot of years, but I'll give you an illustration that Henry Ford Hospital, Wayne State University, which has a great medical school, they do over $100 million of research a year, and Detroit Medical Center have come together and they created a program to actually encourage their workers to work in Detroit, and it's full. Occupancy in downtown and midtown Detroit is over 90%, largely with young people moving into the city of Detroit.
The governor's challenges, the headaches that he has, he's got to get through another election here at some point. In your post-industrial world, does it employ Americans? There's 165,000 bodies at Ford Motor, or even you think of Apple with 70, 80,000 bodies, or do we become a little Switzerland with all these little post-industrial companies not employing a lot of people?
Employing a lot of robots.
Well, I would argue that in a genuinely post-industrial economy, the object of the game is not employment. that employment itself is an artifact of the industrial age, where instead of making things,
that's his biggest headache. The fact is, Doug, jobs is every politician's
headache. It is, and it's been something that we've known about really since the 1970s. We knew that we were moving into a post-industrial age. We knew that robots were going to replace the things we thought of as jobs, and that people were going to have to learn to trade in a peer-to-peer fashion if they wanted to have an economy, and that's a different kind of economy.
Governor?
Yeah. Well, I would say there is a lot of opportunity still in terms of working in manufacturing, for example. The skilled trades are only more important today. The point is you can't just go on the line and work on a line by dropping out of high school. You have to have some degree of education, of training to be successful there. And there are tens of thousands of jobs open in Michigan even today, and we're working hard on filling those because those are good, honorable jobs.
But do you have to get a company? Do you have to call up Mark Zuckerberg and say, hey, open up an office in Detroit?
No, I think we're having startups, good things go on. They're already headed our way in terms of saying there's a creative force. It's basic market. Detroit is the value place to be in the United States as we resolve this bankruptcy issue.
Tigers or Red Sox?
Oh, Tigers. Not even close.
Oh, my word. There's a break exclusive from the governor of Michigan.
Tigers are restaurant.
You just have to remember, August for the Red Sox is so painful. August is good for the Tigers. It usually
is. Well, October is going to be good for the Tigers.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. All right. We'll have to have a bet on this. I have a bet with the governor on the Red Sox or the Tigers come October.
All right. Governor Rick Snyder, thank you for joining us on Surveillance.
Bloomberg Surveillance, weekday mornings at 7 Eastern. In New York on Bloomberg 1130. In Boston on 1200 AM and 94.5 FM HD2. Or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2013 Bloomberg LP.